The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. You were gone all week, Tone. Did you miss me?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. No. Just kidding. No. No. Yeah, of course I missed you.
Nah,
of course I missed you.
You were out there at the beach compound. You're probably throwing big parties. You know, those big, like Hugh Hefner-like parties.
No. Played some golf, though. Had both my kids out there. That was pretty nice. And called you on the phone every other night.
No parties.
I knew where I was.
I'm so disappointed.
Way too old to party. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. Mr. Tony is back in the attic. In today's episode, the Bucks win game 5, the Olympics are a mess, and Jacob deGrom has forearm tightness. But we begin today with Colin Morikawa winning the British Open, the first time he ever played in it. He did the same thing 11 months ago, winning the PGA Championship, the first time he ever played in it. Jordan Spieth finished second, might have finished first, except for bogeys on 17 and 18 on Saturday. Wilbon, I know you love Morikawa. What do you make of Morikawa winning his second major so quickly at 24?
I love him even more, Tony. And I just love the way look, there's so many great young players under 26, 27 years old. You know, and you can go back a couple years ago, we were talking about Spieth all the time. I mean, every year it's somebody that, you know, the golf nerds pronounce, you know, essentially the next guy who's going to replace Tiger and make everything okay. There are a lot of great young players, and they're all going to make it okay. But Morikawa might be my favorite, Tony, and part of it's the composure, the graciousness, the intellect, just how he handles himself. You know, on the golf course, off the golf course, when he is analyzing his own round for the public, everything about Morikawa just rings genuine and smart and charismatic, but in an understated way. He doesn't need to be over the top and make his own golf clubs and wear a funny hat and gain 80 pounds. He doesn't need any gimmicks. It's genuine. I love him, and I hope he's around for a long time. He's not going to win every major. He may get stuck at 2 or 4 or whatever, but he's great right now. We should appreciate it.
Yeah, I love the fact that you took a shot at DeChambeau. We can't do anything in golf without you taking a shot at DeChambeau,
that's right,
who you hate as much as you love Morikawa.
I was early
I'm going to go to Spieth for a second here because Spieth won his first two majors when he was 22 years old. He won a third at 23. So he was Morikawa before Morikawa, anybody knew who he was. And he's still looking for number 4 because nothing is guaranteed in golf. Nothing. That's not how it works. Now, I think Spieth could have won this if he doesn't bogey 17 and 18. The 2-foot putt that he missed on 18 was
that
haunting.
Was a shocker.
And what hurt him, Mike, was he had a chance to be in the last group with Morikawa and essentially, even one stroke back, play head-to-head. You know, I mean, just play match play with Morikawa. But I am not going to in any way take away from Morikawa, who won that tournament. Morikawa won it, and
yes, he did. Not,
everybody knows he's a great iron player. He won it by putting, which was unusual. He putted lights out. He was the best putter all week at Royal St. George's, and he had come into this event ranked 172nd on the PGA Tour in putting, which leads me to believe, and I know you will concur, that you can't win a major unless you putt well. And he putted well. And you're right about young players with multiple majors. Morikawa is 24. Let me get the ages right. Spieth is 27. Koepka is 31. Rory is 32. It looks like Rahm will win many, and he's 26. And DeChambeau, who you hate, may win many, and he's 27. And, Mike, they look right now like the elite of the young golfers.
Yeah, but Tony, there'll be 2 or 3 more by this time next year.
Yes.
Because they just keep manufacturing. That's great for the sport. But Morikawa's
like Scheffler and Wolf and Hovland. Yes.
Yes, Hovland. His demeanor and, Tony, his graciousness. It's just, it stands out. He's not insulting his club manufacturer. He's not doing knucklehead things. He's not getting into beef with somebody else. Oh, Love Morikawa. Love him. Everybody should love him.
Hey, kids, Wilbon hates DeChambeau.
You know, Wilbon was first on DeChambeau because I told you 3 years ago he's great for golf, DeChambeau. He's great for golf. But he behaves like a jerk a lot. And he got called on it, and that's great for golf, too. Gives us something to talk about. Now, the Milwaukee Bucks won the crucial Game 5 of the NBA Finals. The Suns had a chance to go ahead when Jrue Holiday stole the ball from Devin Booker, dribbled down and floated this insanely perfect alley-oop pass to Giannis. Tony, you had the Suns in a short series, so what do you now make of how Game 5 played out?
Okay, so this was a game in which Milwaukee literally took the game from Phoenix when Phoenix was supposed to win. And they did it on that steal by Jrue Holiday, just as when Jrue Holiday gathered up from Chris Paul in Game 4, an errant ball where Chris Paul fell down. They took a game that they maybe shouldn't have taken. Each one, Giannis Antetokounmpo figures in the last few seconds, very importantly, either with a block or with a made basket. You are right. I thought Phoenix would win. It appears that I am totally wrong about this, and I yield to you because you were at the game.
Well, you're not totally wrong because the series is still going. You'd be totally wrong if it was, you know, 4-2 and the series is over, but it's not. It's 3-2, and the series plays on in Milwaukee tomorrow night, and Milwaukee just won a game, broke through and won a game on the road. I think that the Suns are going to win Game 6. And then we'll see what happens with games. This is what long, entertaining, competitive series do, Tony. The Suns did give away, in most part, because of their 17 turnovers, Game 4. And that really put them behind in this series because they should have been up 3-1 going home. Now, they were up 3-1 against the Clippers, and they still lost Game 5 at home, and they had to go on the road and win. That's still possible. Very entertaining series. Booker's been great. Giannis has been great. Middleton, mostly, has been great. Chris Paul, who I just feel he has some injury that he's not going to talk about. He's a prideful guy. He's a great player with pride. And everybody, Tony, I've told you in this series, I've sat next to Isaiah Thomas and Avery Johnson, and they talk alternately about how everybody's got something by this point, 100 games in, and they're hurting somewhere. I know Chris Paul's hurting. He's not going to use that as an excuse. He had a great fourth quarter and got them back in it. I think if he can muster it up physically, I think the Suns are going to win Game 6 tomorrow.
I want to go to another issue, and that's how critical you've been on Coach Bood. Here's a guy who right now, up 3-2 in the finals, 29 other coaches in the league would happily trade places with him. I mean, we've watched him. They swept Miami. They came back. They were down 0-2 and 2-3 against the Nets, and they won that. They dominated Atlanta. They've come back from 0-2 against Phoenix, a team with more victories during the regular season than them. All I guess I'm asking you to concede is that he's got a good sense of his own team. His team does not give up. His team is in it, and he's one victory away from a championship.
His team is terrific.
He's got to do something right, Mike.
His team is terrific, and there are things he must do right, like prepare a team to go into battle, whether it's a season, a chunk of a season, a series, even a game. What happens in the game is another story, Tony. I quoted to you this morning on your podcast all the people, including the great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who I know you think is brilliant, that Kareem was asked on the eve of this thing, as much as he loves Milwaukee, he loves the players on his team, he loves the team. Did he think they were going to win? And a one-word answer was no. So I'm not the one. I'm not early on Coach Bood. Everybody's in there going, what in the world is happening? Like not playing Bobby Portis games 5, 6, and 7 against
Mike,
Kevin Durant.
If they win this series, he's
going to have to have an extension.
Coach
right?
Boob, somebody's going to have to say, woo, he's a little bit better than we thought. Let's move on. Yeah. The opening ceremony of the Olympics is set for Friday, and more athletes are testing positive for coronavirus. The United States has lost a basketball player, a gymnast, and a tennis player so far. Wilbon, how are you feeling about these games proceeding?
Tony, I don't want to be the spoil sport and say the game shouldn't go on, because I don't really believe that. I don't believe in the boycotts that have canceled games going back, you know, in 1980 and 84, depending on what side of the politics you were on. I don't want to say cancel the games. But, Tony, I'm looking at it. I love the Olympics. You love the Olympics. I covered 10 Olympics. I can't wait for them usually. And now I'm just going, how much of this am I going to watch? And it's not even the latest round of, you know, positive tests. It's not that. It's that there's so many worldwide distractions and things to depress the spirit around the Olympic. It's as if somebody's going to blow out a birthday candle and just blow out the Olympic flame. I'm not where I should be in my anticipation of the Olympics. And we haven't talked about this yet. I know how much you love the Olympics. Are you there?
I do.
Do you have the spirit for these Olympics that you usually have?
So I've given this some thought. And as you know, to me, it's a television show. That's what it is. The Olympics are a television show. And I will quote Don Olmeyer one more time, and not the last time on this show, that the answer to all your questions is money. The Tokyo Olympic Committee sunk a lot of money into this, and they want to recoup it. NBC sunk a lot of money into buying the broadcast rights, and they want to recoup it. These games are going to go on whether or not Toyota has any ads inside Japan, and they show their displeasure for the games. The games are going to go on, and all the athletes available are going to do their best because it's probably their one shot at the Olympics. And I don't want to be a hypocrite, Mike, because I am going to watch, because I do love the Olympics, with or without crowds. It may be diminished for me not having crowds, but if I focus particularly on track and field, which I just love to watch, you know, I think I'm going to have that spirit. It's interesting, Mike. You and I have a lot of friends from the Washington Post who are either in Tokyo now or on their way. I have friends from NBC either in Tokyo now or on their way. And when I text them, I always say, be safe, stay safe, because I worry about the people with the virus there and here. And I feel for that, but I don't want to lie. I'm going to watch. I don't know, to answer your question directly, I don't know how much enthusiasm, but I'm going
to
watch.
Are you excited to watch? You didn't answer my question. Are you into this? Can you not wait like you did 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago?
We've waited an extra year. I am persuaded by the commercials that NBC runs, and yes, I want to see it. I do. Okay. I want to see it right now. Let's take a break. Coming up, how careful do the Mets need to be with Jacob deGrom and his forearm tightness?
And this play cost New York 3 runs, but was it worth a shot? Yeah, Tony,
My greatest sporting memories, Mike, are the Olympics.
Me too.
They're my greatest memories.
I don't know that I'm excited, though. I'm kind of worried about it.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
It's mail time where you expect us to solve your issues. Really?
Please.
Let me see what's first.
Like, you're worried about your driver. Come on.
How cautious should the Mets be with Jacob deGrom?
He's the greatest asset that franchise has had since, what, Tom Seaver? I mean, you're as careful as you can be in consulting with him. He's not a rookie. He knows his body to some degree. And people have so many staffs now, a training staff, a medical staff, a consultation staff. I mean, all those people get in a room as often as they can or get on Zoom if they're not in the same place, and you take care of DeGrom. I mean, he's not just your Cy Young Award winner. He's your most valuable player, the most valuable player that franchise has had in 50 years. You take care of him.
Yeah, he's the Hope Diamond of pitchers. You don't take him out of the box and shake him up. You don't do anything like that. Empirically, Mike, what we've seen gives us some concern because he's given up only 11 runs all year, but 7 since June 26th, and his ERA has gone from 0.50 to 108. You can't risk him. And while there are other pitchers I could name and I won't name who won't go out there unless they're 100% perfect, DeGrom will go out there and he'll give it a shot. So my advice to the Mets is with the trade deadline coming up, go get a couple of starting pitchers and then wait on DeGrom. Because in that division, you have to win it. It's a lousy division. There won't be any wild card teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, so go out and win it and get him ready when he's completely ready.
I didn't mean to skip over Dwight Gooden when I was talking about, you know, Mets valuable players. I don't have to go all the way back to Seaver. I got to make a stop with Dwight Gooden, and then we can go back to Seaver.
Ready?
Yeah.
Was Taiwan Walker's play worth a shot?
You know, Tony, it's always with a shot in live time when you're trying to make something happen. It didn't wind up being, I don't know, worth the shot. But in real time, don't you think it was worth the shot in real time when you can't measure exactly? You can't stop and say, let me go over to the scorer's table like the NBA and look at video for 35 minutes. You got to make a decision. He made the decision. Didn't turn out to be the right one.
It's not a reviewable play. Had he gotten over there more quickly when the ball was quickly foul, it was worth a shot. But the replay that I saw, Mike, it actually looked like the ball was fair. And then he throws it away. The sin on the play, Mike, is that they don't get the ball. The runners keep coming in. Everybody's screaming at the umpire, and they don't get the ball. So 3 runs score, it becomes 6-0. It becomes a little league play. Now the Mets win. The Mets, they come back. They get a walk-off homer by Michael Conforto, and they actually win the game. What pleases me about this discussion is we have now done 2 Mets stories, 2 I-95 stories that remind me of my youth, and I know this bothers you because we haven't talked about the Cubs or the White Sox. Makes me happy.
No, we didn't talk about the Cubs, and the White Sox are so far out front. It's not worth talking about them because they're crushing people. I think Cleveland's still in second place in that division. We can spend, you know, a day or two on the Mets. Let's not get crazy, though.
Thank you. Okay, people, seriously, enough of you. Let's take one last break, but still to come, baseball bans a fan for life.
And Shohei hit his 34th home run, but was legging out a hit even more impressive. I don't want to talk about the Phillies. I don't want to hear about them. If we go Phillies,
how do they not get the
crazy
ball, Mike? You got to go after the ball. You just can't scream at the umpire.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Happy time, people. Happy 81st birthday yesterday, Joe Torre. Torre is a total baseball lifer. He spent 18 seasons playing in the majors, mostly at third base for the Cardinals, Braves, and Mets. Torre had a .298 lifetime batting average and made 9 All-Star games. Torre then managed 5 different teams for 29 seasons. He managed the 3 teams he played for, plus the Yankees and the Dodgers. His greatest achievements were with the Yankees, where he won 4 World Series. He went into the Hall of Fame after winning 2,326 games. That's 5th all time. And now Torrey works as a special assistant to the commissioner, Rob Manfred.
Tony, I became aware of Joe Torrey as a little kid, playing down the road from Chicago in Milwaukee. And that, you know, and being with Henry Aaron, the great Henry Aaron, Braves in Milwaukee, and Eddie Matthews, you know, in Atlanta. And when you say lifer, oh my God, it seems like he's been in baseball 81 years. Not just alive 81, he's been in baseball all 81 of them. Man.
Happy anniversary, Manny Ramirez. On this day 16 years ago, the Red Sox left fielder revealed to reporters that the purpose behind his frequent trips into the Green Monster was to relieve himself into a cup. Ironically, it was after Ramirez relieved himself into a cup at the behest of Major League Baseball that he cut his career short rather than sit out 100 games in 2011. Despite a few comeback attempts and some time spent in various foreign baseball leagues, Manny never made it back to the bigs. He finished with 555 home runs, 1,831 RBI, and a .312 batting average. Obviously Hall of Fame numbers.
His Red Sox uniform specifically was always like three sizes too large. He was like the kid in the Little League where you just walk past him at some point in the afternoon and say, dude, can your parents get your uniform right? And by the way, when he was out there in that wall in the Monster, there was no cup. Okay, let's just get that straight. There was never a cup out there. He did his thing, and that was that. Cup.
Really? So you don't think he brought a cup in and then just left it there? Really?
I don't.
Happy trails to a Yankee fan ever attending another Major League Baseball game. A fan who hit Red Sox left fielder Alex Verdugo with a thrown baseball Saturday night at Yankee Stadium has been banned for life from attending any MLB park. It happened in the bottom of the sixth inning after Verdugo had tossed the ball to a Red Sox fan. The ball was intercepted and fans began chanting, throw it back. It was thrown at Verdugo when it hit him. Alex Cora pulled his team off the field until the situation was sorted out. The fan was identified and taken out. The Yankees issued a statement condemning such bad behavior. Wilmont, how are you with a lifetime ban and no possibility of future grace?
This one's full of baseball politics, possibly. Red Sox, Yankees, and all of that drama that goes on. And it doesn't seem like, you know, when fans have gone after people, have you seen it with Russell Westbrook and in some basketball arenas? Does it have the same spirit as that? Or was he simply responding to people around and saying, throw it back? It happens in Wrigley Field every game when an opposing player hits when they throw it back. If it hits somebody, would you ban him for life? This doesn't seem clear-cut to me.
One omission, Peyton and Eli Manning will call 10 Monday Night Football games on ESPN2 this season.
Okay.
I'm going to watch some of them. Quick to the big finish. In Olympic tune-ups, the U.S. men's basketball team beat Spain. U.S. women beat Nigeria. Your thoughts?
My man Zach LaVine is in protocol. The U.S. has got a lot of drama swirling around it. I think both men and women will win, but you can't be certain like you usually are. The Wizards hired Wes Unseld Jr. as their new head coach. Good fit?
I don't know. I hope so. A lot of young assistants getting jobs this year. Lance Lynn and the White Sox agreed to a two-year, $38 million extension. Does that make sense?
His performance is justified, don't you think? Shohei Ohtani hit his 34th and beat out a grounder to first yesterday, and he pitches tonight. I know you're excited.
Most exciting player in the American League to me. Last one, Giants and Dodgers start a four-game series tonight. Big deal?
Oh, yeah. Giants one game off. They play 7 of their next 10 against each other. Dodgers have had their number. Big deal.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts. Now here's Sports.
All right. Shout out to Rose Zhang, who won the junior girls at Columbia over the weekend. And on the bag, Doug Hurst.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.